Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network.
It's like Bruce Pritchard, isn't it?
Ooh, satisfying. Yes, Distraction Pieces Network, as ever, the podcast network that brings you this podcast. Bloody great group of folks. Dr. Susie dropped an episode this week as we're recording. It's always worth your time. Say Why to Drugs is a banging podcast. You check that out and everything else that is on the network. Before we get into today's episode, I will state that neither Distraction Pieces, Acast, or myself, Matthew Anthony Richards, are liable for anything that is said on this podcast. that's why we're chuckling. But we are ready for this episode that has been a long time coming. Please welcome back to the podcast, and please welcome back to the British Isles, from the land of the rising sun to Denton's favourite son. This is Chris Egan.
Hello. I'm back for my 100th appearance or something like that on the
podcast. Something like that, yeah. Your first in 2020.
Yeah, bona fide regular, which is good. Thanks for having me again. Really excited to tell you all about Japan.
Yes.
Some of you may have been, some of you may not.
Yeah.
But more the wrestling side, smatterings of, you know, being a tourist, being abroad. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully. It's an all right listen.
Yeah,
Craig was on last week and he was pretty good. I listened to that.
Yeah, he's all right.
Craig's pretty good, and Jimmy was good.
Yeah, Jimmy's fantastic. Some of the stories that Jimmy was telling. Yeah. There was a lot that we cut out of the podcast because we wanted we asked the audience some questions from the live audience, and we wanted them just specifically for the live audience, and that was really good fun as well. It was a great episode, but we are here with you. One of my favourite things that I saw during your time in Japan was a random picture of Session Moth Martina posing and being like, "Woo, I'm in the Tokyo Dome," and stood behind her was yourself with a great big pint of beer, a lovely blazer, and your trusty cap on.
Yeah, so story about that photo is, well, the first day I didn't know what to expect, like being in Tokyo Dome, being in the dugout. I was like, well, I'll put a sports blazer on.
Yeah, yeah.
I still had me trainers on and a t-shirt, but I put a sports blazer on. It's like those people who wear ties with t-shirts.
That was a thing, wasn't it? When MySpace was a thing, yeah.
The equivalent of having a tuxedo printed on your shirt. So it was like,
we unfortunately know a lot of people that don't see the irony of that, but yeah.
So it was like that. So I was stood there and Martina had just done another photo, but with a back to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, that's the money shot there. You know, you don't want to. Then she turned around and then did one facing the crowd, the seats. So I was like, I can be relaxed. You're never going to fucking use that. It's just it was a photo with some chairs, some empty chairs. And then bang, there, I'm getting all these texts, all these. And then I see her tomorrow and she's like, oh, you got the fucking photo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've never met you before, but we're friends now. Yeah.
For those those offended by that impression, I was quite impressed. It was quite good.
For a first try, yeah.
So it was the first time you've ever met her?
Yeah, yeah. I saw her. It might have been the day before I saw her. She said hello, and then the day after, she walked up to me and she said that. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And then just spoke to her a little bit more later on and didn't see her again.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is, because I'm quite terrified of the prospect of you two being friends. to be quite honest with you, we were talking about the Jimmy podcast. Obviously, me and Jimmy told a couple of the Martina stories, some of our favourites. She will be on this podcast at some point. But yeah, it did make me chuckle that you like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, like the
turning up in these these pictures.
Someone said I look like Tony Pulis. Which is pretty fucking good. Like, it looked like I was shouting something, instructions.
It did. That's what got me.
But like, I was thinking, what manager could I be that I'd have like a pint on the touchline? I know Sarri loved like a cig.
Yeah, so there's a lot of smokers. Yeah. Carlo Ancelotti was a big smoker.
Is he?
Yeah. Obviously, they stamped that out. But a lot of Italian managers used to be smokers.
It's completely off topic of Japan and wrestling, but there was an interview with one of the Napoli players, and the main take of the whole thing was just Sarri just loves to smoke.
Yeah,
like they built a room for him where he could just go and smoke in the venue. Like,
good.
Oh yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. Don't worry. I mean, this episode is going to be the least structured episode in the history of episodes.
If you hear that, you're lucky, because that's probably going to cut out.
No. That's gold. It's staying in. So, obviously, in that picture, you were in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, man.
And you were at Wrestle Kingdom, which this year was a two-day event, which I completely forgot it was a two-day event. So, you were lucky to be in attendance for some incredible matches.
Yeah,
what were those sort of standout matches you saw over the 2 days?
So, the first night, the whole back stretch, fucking hell, was so good. Like, really good.
The first night had Takahashi and Ospreay.
It was amazing.
Which was ridiculous.
Jay White and Tetsuya Naito.
Yes.
Oh, boy, amazing. Really good. And then the main event, spectacular. Liger's first part of his retirement, doubleheader, which was surreal. Yeah, especially seeing people like Sasuke, who I'd seen earlier in the day, power walking around the venue. but it's not even like a real power walk. It was like a snail's pace power walk.
It's what we British people would refer to as a dad jog.
Yeah, dad jog. Yeah. And considering like the Tokyo Dome is fucking huge, like you're blown away. Like Craig Harley was on the show last week. He was there too and he said the same thing. It's just this massive structure. So seeing this guy doing like 8 laps in his mask.
It was quite funny because you sent me the video of you. Basically, it was you going, oh, look at the Tokyo Dome. And then Sasuke just like trots past. And I was like, oh, okay, it's one of those days.
I was like, shit, I didn't even know he was coming.
If you'd known.
Pardon?
I said, if you'd known.
If I'd known. But yeah, the first night was amazing. The second night, it was quite tough because with the double title situation, it was kind of hard to feel, for the crowd to feel like a losers-losers match.
Yeah.
Nice third, fourth place playoff.
Yeah.
Well, the match was still brilliant. Everyone just seemed to be waiting for the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understandably as well, yeah.
But shit, like the pops on the first night when Fujinami was throwing out dragon screws.
Yeah.
Shinjiro Otani was in the ring and, you know, Sasuke.
Man. I love Otani so much, man.
El Samurai just sauntering down to the ring to be a second.
Talking of Chainsmokers, apparently a notorious chain smoker, isn't he? Yeah. And yet, despite being one of the most prominent super juniors in the 90s. So, all right. There might be a weird edit at that point because I have to blow my nose because I've still got this stupid cold. So, Chris is chuckling. So, yeah, you got to see Fujinami, Liger, Sasuke, cool. Itani.
And I did a tweet about meeting Yoshiki Fujiwara.
Yeah, yeah.
And having a coffee with him. That was completely true. Like, that wasn't a joke. Like,
you find yourself in these situations quite a lot.
He was just eating his lunch and he got up to have a coffee and I went for a coffee at the same time and it's like, hi. You okay? Like, it's fucking Fujiwara. Like.
Did you bump into your mate Katsuyori Shibata at any point?
Did, yeah. Just said a brief hello.
Is he well?
Yeah, he's alright. Yeah. He's okay, he's very busy.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Serious business, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the second night just felt like a bit, I don't know, it felt a bit flat.
Okay.
Not flat, that's quite harsh, because like the place was roaring.
Yeah, crazy, yeah, yeah.
But people were just waiting for that main event.
That's interesting because I've not seen the full shows from both shows. I've seen matches and bits from matches. And I guess it is a curious thing for it to go to 2 days. And it's one of them things of, sort of Wrestle Kingdom's always been quite not a marathon because that sounds harsh, but it's always been quite a long show anyway. So that's curious to see the feeling in the building, because I know when Craig was on one of the days watching the Noah show.
That was the first day, yeah.
Yeah, which had Shiozaki win the GHC title. And I watched that main event the other day and I was like, oh man, it was so good. And he was like, oh, that's really interesting for you to say, because he was like, it was buzzing in the venue, but he was like, I was wondering if it was going to translate. Yeah. So, and of course, there's a lot of shows around that weekend that weren't necessarily on the same day, but
including DDT.
Yes.
On Friday, which was amazing to be able to watch Chris Brooks against Masato Tanaka.
Yeah.
Which was wild, yeah. It was such a fun show.
Which is a crazy match that has exists, so. I remember when Tanaka came over for Fight Club, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and that was very surreal. They did the chair off the top rope with, it was Dan Maloney that did it, and it was one of the moments of like, oh, that's really weird, that's someone I know hitting Masato Tanaka with a chair. Like, but that's really cool. Was there any other shows that you caught over the weekend?
Just did a 4-day stretch. I did DDC on the Friday, which was a short notice thing. I think if I wouldn't have gone, I probably would have done myself a bit of a mischief, because I just got off the plane, I'd had some lunch, and I was like, well, if I go to bed now, I'm going to wilt. So I will endeavour to go to DDT. So I went to DDT, had a brilliant time. Korakuen's the best wrestling venue I've ever been in, bar none. Better than the Monaco Ballroom.
Oh, hey.
Better than the OPWO venue, wherever that was, that snooker club in Blackpool.
Morecambe Dome?
Caught
you there though, didn't
you? There at the Morecambe Dome. So DDT was great, then 2 days at Tokyo Dome, then New Year's Dash, which was watching Liger retire was crazy, and even stranger seeing UK favourite Gabriel Kidd in the ring with Liger during his retirement ceremony.
Mad,
insane.
Of course, you and Gabe have been mates for a while. You're part of your little chicken wing group. You're often pottering off to somewhere to go and eat chicken wings together, but that's awesome, right? To see lad that's worked a lot really hard to get an opportunity and then be there, and it seems to be now going forward that he's going to be there a little bit more.
Well, he's got a full tour worth of matches like scheduled, which is amazing. A lot of matches with LP,
yeah,
and a debut with Tiger Mask. Teaming with Tiger Mask. Oh my god.
Well, I tweeted out the other day about Martin Kirby teaming with Dragon Kid, and that blowing my mind.
Oh,
and obviously, Danny Jones has been in All Japan. Lucas Steele's obviously been in All Japan. So, and as well, you pre-mentioned as well that Brooks and Drew are in DDT and Big Japan as well. So, and obviously, let's not forget the girls in Stardom. Obviously, there's Jamie Hayter, there's Session Moth, there's Bea Priestley. So, I mean,
Sendai, Charlie, and Millet.
Of course, yeah. So, it seems to be a really good place right now for British expats, I guess. Yeah, so.
Definitely.
But no, that is quite incredible. I mean, so we put Liger into the first ever Broken Jaw Club, and we had a bit of a discussion on there about will there ever be a Jushin Liger 2, do you reckon?
No. It's difficult to say, but I don't think so. I was saying this to someone on the day, like, who said to me, like, man, you know, like, you know, I can't really give a fuck. He's been around so long, all this. If someone like Nagata retired, or if someone like that retired, you know, it'd mean a bit more. And I was like, well, probably would. But have any of those wrestlers transcended culture in their country like Liger has?
Yeah.
It's like an Austin or The Rock in America. Like, that is Liger. He's more than a wrestler.
He's also wrestled in the 80s, the 90s, and the noughties. He's done things like WCW. You know, we spoke about it so much in depth. He has done so much. And I think what makes him so unique is that he has done so many different styles. And it's not to dismiss Nagata or even like a Tenzan or a Kojima, who are all incredible wrestlers, but they've always been prominent in a Japanese market doing a very Japanese style, whereas Liger made the jump over to WCW, for instance. He wrestled at British Rounds matches, if you ever want to go back and watch him versus Mark Rocco when he was Fuji Yamada. Like, he has done so many different things. And, you know, even we joked about it again on the other episode, but, you know, did the comedy stuff at PWG. You know, so he is such a versatile performer that I think it is really significant. You know, but again, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but me personally, you know.
Well, just a part of that is the willingness to do it.
Like, yeah.
I know a lot of wrestlers I know. I don't know Liger. I'm sure you're great mates, but I don't know Liger. But some don't seem willing to, like, adapt to that, if you know what I mean. So, like, there's that opinion that guys from Japan or guys from America come over here, or they go abroad for a bit of a break from their tour schedule. But I don't think, like, from what I've always seen of Liger, it doesn't seem like that. He comes over and he entertains, he puts the...
Yeah.
He's still... He'll wrestle a different style, maybe. He'll wrestle a different, you know, he might, as he said in PWG, he might do some comedy stuff. But there's always that 100% attitude to just go out there and just entertain.
Yeah.
Like, he knows the score. Like,
once in a lifetime guy, and you got to see the farewell, which is quite cool. So, obviously, you spent a lot of time watching wrestling. What were you getting up to in your spare time?
Spare time? Oh,
now, I'm going to go out on a limb, so you probably did a lot of karaoke.
Yo, man, so many songs. And I just want to thank all my brand new friends I made at karaoke, all of whom were better singers than me.
Okay.
A couple of American guys liked the old classics, your Billy Idols.
All right.
Your Dolly Parton, Jolene.
Okay.
That was a big one. Certain member of the New Japan staff really liked Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Hell of a song.
Every night. Did it?
Do you know what?
Yeah, every
I can imagine
night.
That. Yeah. That made you love that person because I know how much of it.
By the end, I was sick of it.
He's doing it again.
Yeah,
he's like, got it on again.
A former IWGP Intercontinental Champion doing Jai Ho 5 times in one night. Which is pretty fucking, like, stop. And then you get to the show and then you'd hear it across the room. Like, you'd arrive, like, the New Year's Dash, and you'd walk in and you'd be talking to someone and you'd just do Jai-ho! You'd be like, oh my god, fuck. It's not like a karaoke, it's like an all the time thing, fuck, stop. Like, on the bus, Jai-ho! Fuck, shut up, please. I'm really hungover. Stop shouting Jai-ho. Like, fuck. But yeah, a lot of karaoke.
I was going to say, what was your weapon of choice?
Well, I went in hard with Don't You Want Me, Baby.
Oh.
Come On, Eileen, which is really difficult. I can sing it in the car or in the bath.
Yeah.
But in front of a crowd, oh, shit.
It's difficult. Some notes in that, isn't it?
There's an audio clip that might make the end of this show.
Yeah.
Of Oasis. It's not me, though.
No.
It's not me. A lot of karaoke.
I like the way, as a man from Manchester, you're distancing yourself from fulfilling a stereotype of singing Oasis.
Fuck, I know Jim Smallman's going to hear this and he's going to go, his head's going to fucking explode, but I fucking hate Oasis. I fucking hate them. They're dog shit. Fucking tweet me. I will entertain you. All day, please just.
It's because you're a United fan. That's why.
No, man, it's not. It's not. It's just shit. It's boring. Okay. I'm sorry, podcast world. But man, fight me. Come to my house and fight me.
Okay, so you weren't doing Oasis at the karaoke.
No.
All right. Okay.
What else? Fuck, there's another one. Elton John.
Nice.
Fuck. What is it? Shit. What's that song? Blue Jean, baby. Early, what's it called?
I'm not
clear. Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a lad I know that comes to shows occasionally, and I'm sure people will know, listen to this, called Doffy, whose favourite question is to ask everyone, what's your favourite Elton John song? And it's genuinely really, really hilarious to see wrestlers go, oh, I don't know. No one's ever like, oh, no, I'm not really a big Elton John fan, or, you know, like, oh, I don't like Elton John. Because everyone who goes, oh, yeah, there's definitely one Elton John song that I quite like.
Yeah. What's yours?
I think Rocket Man. I do like Rocket Man. Though I do like Tiny Dancer as well. But that might be just because he put it in my head. What's the one he does with George Michael?
Let the song go down.
I love the bit in that where he's like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. George Michael. It's great.
I thought he was going around.
Is it?
Mr. Elton John.
Whatever way round it is, I love that bit in the song. Clearly not enough to know which way around it is. We should definitely have a karaoke night. I know Chris Sharp, WWE official Chris Sharp, has been hammering on that we need a karaoke night for a long time.
Everyone goes to karaoke.
No, this is going to be TNJ karaoke, where everyone comes to karaoke instead. Maybe we'll do it.
I'd love that.
There we go. Instead of a live podcast, we just have a live karaoke.
We can Twitch it.
Whatever kids are doing these days.
Fuck it, we'll do it, yeah. It was my first time in Japan. There was a lot of people there that have been fucking hundreds of times every year, but
yeah,
completely overwhelmed by the place. I remember ringing a friend. At the day I arrived, I was killing some time before Korakuen, and I felt like breaking down in tears. I was like, fuck, I can't do this, because it's such a culture shock.
Yeah.
Like, you feel so alien.
Yeah.
And I was on my own as well, so I was like, fuck, I can't do this. Get me home, pie and chips, Tizer. fuck, I can't do this. Shit. Send me some baked beans and sausage in the post, quick. Get it, ship it out to me so I can feel at home. But no, I've soon immersed myself in Japanese culture. Had a ramen.
Nice.
And I felt fine.
I was going to say, you're not that uncultured.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. It is a struggle at first.
So what's culturally one of the biggest differences between sort of the Western and the Eastern worlds?
Everyone's so fucking polite.
Unlike us scumbags.
Yeah, pieces of shit over here. I got back off. It's probably procedure in an airport, but I got back off the plane to Manchester and I was on the phone and she's like, sorry, you can't use your phone. I was like, ugh. In Japan, I can do whatever I want. But no, everyone's just so polite and it's so lovely. And I was trying to be respectful in everything I did. It was genuinely a change not getting, because you know how impatient I am, not getting worked up at anything.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. But no, everything's so efficient and so polite and so clean and just lovely.
How was the audiences at the shows? Because obviously that's spoken about a lot, and I think there's a lot of common misconceptions about them always being really quiet.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. And it was I said to a friend, it's quite surreal when you watch Japanese wrestling on TV, you always hear those high pitch.
Yeah.
And then being there and hearing them on TV, it's mad. People just screaming during the match. There's nothing to scream for. Just scream because they just really want someone to win. It's crazy. And when Naito won both nights, the crowd went fucking wild. Like, people are leaving the seats. Like, and you've got to be there to like experience it. People jumping up and down and screaming. Fucking wild. And like, a lot of Liger cosplays as well.
Yes.
Which is pretty good.
Like, I saw a lot of this.
Not, you'd think everyone's going to be like in a suit, mm-hmm. business suit, tame, sat on the hands. No, mad. Liger cosplays. People screaming, jumping, like it's crazy. But it's so much fun.
Were these Liger cosplays homemade?
I think you can buy it.
Oh, okay.
But I think the only difference was you could tell the real Liger from the other Ligers because most of the fake ones were like overweight. Oh,
okay.
Had a big dab.
Okay.
Struggled to walk. Like, so that's how you could tell. Because I was fooled more than once.
Yeah, yeah.
Jushin! Jushin! screaming, yeah. What do you want from the bar? yeah, so the crowds do have to be. But there was a, I did notice, and someone said, and I didn't think it was true, I think John Lister tweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a foreigners section.
Okay.
In the crowd, which is quite strange, cause like walking down through it, it's just like all these English people, American people, it's like. Why aren't you over there? Why are you all sat together?
Yeah, it's. I mean, maybe it's good, like travel packs or like travel deals. But I suppose that's kind of just representative of how big that has become now.
It's, yeah, it's, definitely.
You know, when me and Jimmy did the live show and I asked everyone, like, oh, who's coming to WrestleMania? And the crowd went silent. Like, I imagine if it was who's going to Wrestle Kingdom, it'd probably be a little bit louder.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting because it's interesting how quickly New Japan have broken through over here because New Japan World has not actually been around that long.
Yeah.
So the exposure to that product isn't as maybe as it wasn't as accessible as it, even something as like AEW initially was. So it's fascinating that now we're getting more of a, it's really becoming a global company and a global brand.
Someone was saying comparing it to WrestleMania. And if you're at WrestleMania, the majority of people now are from overseas. It's crazy. Like, because even in America, to get to WrestleMania, you normally have to fly in from another state, from from Canada, from South America, whatever.
Mm.
But the majority of people are from overseas. Australia, Japan, England, France, Spain.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Whereas in this massive Tokyo Dome, there was only this section of foreign fans.
Yeah.
Which weren't, they weren't very rowdy, I know the quietest in there. Like, they must have had like a, someone telling them to shush.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Being respectful. Well, we're sat in your front room at the minute, so, and I can see you've been record shopping.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Big Love Records, Harajuku.
Yeah.
If you're in Japan now, if you're listening to this, have you had any Japanese listeners?
We get a couple.
Okay. So, if you're out there, go to Big Love in Harajuku. I bought, what's that? It's a flyer, sorry. I bought First Steps of Heaven by DAF, which is one of my favourite records. If you'd like to listen to it, I will post a link later.
Okay.
One of the singles. I can't describe it. How can I describe this record? Pure primal desire. That's what I to describe this record as. And when you hear it, you'll understand. Sexual tension. Like,
okay.
It's crazy.
So what, tell us about Big Love Records then. Was it big? Was it full of love?
It was a nice bar as well.
Oh, it was a bar in there?
Yeah,
okay.
Well. Yeah, okay. It was pretty cool. I didn't really do much record shopping. As you can see, we're in my front room.
Yeah.
Hordes of records.
Superstar DJ,
yeah, hordes of records. Didn't really get to do much. I really wanted the Yellow Magic Orchestra record, but no one had it. Which was crazy. Like, you can't really get them over here either. So I was looking everywhere for that, and people were just shutting me down. No, we don't sell that. That's probably thought I was being rude, but going all the way to Japan to find a Yellow Magic Orchestra record. But it was a really nice store, nice and big. Loads of records, but they're fucking so expensive over there.
Yeah,
like, Japan has a really. Someone was telling me stuff that can't be recycled.
Okay.
Is normally more expensive. So, like, DVDs and CDs, like, 30 fucking quid.
Oh, that's
like,
interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
You want to pass it forward. You don't want chucking everything in the bin. But, yeah, like, it's so expensive. So I couldn't come home with a fucking suitcase full, like I know I do. It's crazy.
So obviously, like, a few people had gone to a few sort of sacred spots in terms of wrestling. A few people went to the Pile Driver store, which is obviously owned by Minoru Suzuki. I know Craig went to a Baba / Old Japan memorial thing. Did you go along?
It was like the clothing of Old Japan.
Okay.
That's what it was. It's like, so you had all the robes, all the jackets, a tat you could buy, like a couple of pens, pencils, notepads. But it was in like a Gucci store.
Okay.
Which is fucking wild. So you had to go through all this, like, it was like Selfridges at the Trafford Centre and just walk through all this, and then I couldn't find it anywhere. So I was like, someone help me. So I politely asked, and they were like, third floor, right at the back. So you walk to the third floor, and it's like when Father Ted got lost in the lingerie section. You've got to walk through all the women's clothes, and then there's a tiny little entrance at the back.
Yeah.
With like the Old Japan logo over the top. You walk through there, and it's like, oh. Okay, like sneak into the back of the store. You're greeted by a big robe of Babas, which is mental. And then you've got all like the belts, the jackets, the robes. It's pretty cool seeing one of Akira Tawai's robes.
Yeah.
Because it's just an old leather duster. Do you know, like a goss would wear? Like a leather duster. But someone had painted, repainted one of Baba's paintings on the back.
Oh, okay.
So all the paint was like peeling.
Oh, right.
But it was just essentially a leather duster.
A leather duster, yeah, from Affleck's, yeah.
Like, wow, this is great. Why haven't I thought of this?
Like, I was just about to say, it's like, was there anything that you saw that you're now going to come out with a certain jacket?
One of Jumbo Saruta's blazers.
Yeah.
Which is sick. Like,
and Tenryu's old like blazer / Harrington jacket game was strong, man.
There was no Tenryu and there was no Misawa.
So Craig said this, because Craig was like, oh man, is it still as bitter as it always has been between certain people and Misawa being one of them? So.
Yeah, but they had the tiger mask, one of his tiger masks.
Yeah.
But there was no like jackets.
Because they bought the rights to the character though, didn't they?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's interesting.
But like Kobashi's stuff was in there.
Yeah.
And he affected as well.
But me, I don't know. I don't know if he's responsible. Interesting. If anyone knows that's listened to this a little bit more, let us know. Yeah. I could talking to Kobashi. I could see. Do you remember when you had that like proper big faux black fur coat thing?
Yeah,
I could see you rocking that.
Really, I've got my dressing gown upstairs.
Just put that on.
Well, I was saying, because I'll never face it. I'll never fucking get a Ribera jacket, will I?
Okay. How do you know?
Back and get a Ribena one. And one day that'll be on display in like...
Did you go along to the steakhouse?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we did. Mr. Danger's is bear.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Danger's.
I had a few people tell me about this. So do you want to explain the whole thing with Mr. Danger?
Oh, yeah. So Mr. Danger's got a steak. So apparently, like, the most lucrative business for pro wrestlers and former pro wrestlers, just get a fucking steakhouse. Or like, Bushi's got a chicken shop somewhere.
Yeah,
like, it's just... Open a fucking restaurant.
This is what me and Craig were talking about, because they're saying it used to be an old British wrestler thing of used to buy a pub.
But
in Japan, it seems to be like a restaurant or something a little bit more high class.
Yeah, like Kawada's got ramen or steak.
Okay.
Akira Tawai's got a steak restaurant. Bushi, Mr. Danger. Fuck knows who Mr. Ribera is. Might have been him serving us, but anyway.
So Mr. Danger's place then?
Mr. Danger's place. He wasn't in.
No.
Mr. Danger wasn't in. I was hoping he'd be in. But I was checking out like Temple just in the morning, and I was fucking starving. I was Googling what was around, and Mr. Danger was there, so I went in. Amazing steak. But they give you the choice to have it fried in garlic or not.
No.
And I said no.
Okay.
Bold. Man, it made it so much fucking better. Oh. Went to Ribera, that shit's covered in garlic. Oh my god, my breath was stinking, it was peeing on me. Great steak, but man, I didn't want the garlic. Fuck. It's proper dusty as well.
So
dusty.
So you heard it here first. Mr. Danger over Ribera.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Mr. Danger. Like, fucking got
me. Did you get a cool jacket for Mr. Danger if you go?
I don't know, they might give you like a windbreaker.
That's what I was saying.
Outside,
hoodie. Smash you over the head with a light tube or something,
It gives you a clip round the ear. No, but 100% better.
Yeah.
It was cool being in Ribera and like seeing all the photos and stuff, like, which is
I was going to say, I always worry that Ribera would be a bit more like a Hard Rock Cafe
it kind of
than like an authentic you know, like an authentic thing now. Like I was always a bit concerned that it would be a bit gimmicky, or
because it's so small as well, you feel bad fucking looking around. So we weren't in there that long, half an hour, and being able to sit next to the photo of Andre was pretty cool. So that was enough for me. Like Andre's over there. I've seen that. Great. Craig went to Tudorcan as well.
Okay.
Did you say that?
No, I don't. He's not. He's...
Craig, help me out here. yeah, it was Tudorcan, which was fucking crazy, man. All the shit in there. But a lot of, female bras and knickers, which was, alarming.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, female wrestling gear, but, the underwear as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, maybe that is going to get voted too high in TripAdvisor then.
Yeah, she was bad, but... Yeah, all the fucking tapes and stuff and everything. Mm. And if you wanted to spend $7,000 on buying some of Muta's gear, go for it, man.
Go nuts. Yeah. He's got enough.
Go crazy, yeah.
I mean, he might not have any knees, but he's still got loads of gear.
Yeah, fuck. What was his... When he had
The mask.
Not the mask. It was the Japanese head attire.
Oh, almost the original entrance gear. That's cool. Oh, wicked. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a few questions now to round this off. Thanks for taking us on our little journey.
I hope this episode was
palate
cleanser for the past 2 weeks.
It's perfectly fine. It's good to know. It's good to know what you got up to. Just, to be honest with you, more for my peace of mind to know where you were and who you were with. So obviously you watch a lot of wrestling out there, and I know who some of your boys are and your favourite Japanese wrestlers are, but was there anyone that you saw when you were over there wrestle that you were like, oh yeah, I really want to lace up a pair of boots and get in with them?
Oh fuck, Sasuke. getting to see these guys that I've loved so long on their home turf.
Mm.
That's what meant more to me. Like, you can see, you could see Liger over here. You could see, Tanahashi. You could see fucking Okada over here. Mm. Being able to go to Japan on their soil and see them wrestle.
Yeah.
Fucking seeing Fujinami, man. Tatsumi Fujinami.
Yeah, that's mad, that.
It's insane, and even though he was chain smoking his way down the ring, a samurai, shit, stuff like that.
I remember hearing a story about Fujinami when he got put in the WWE Hall of Fame, and someone was talking to him and mentioned Wigan, and he got really excited. So you should have told him, brother. You should have said, oh, training Wigan. Yeah. He'd be like, oh, shooter.
I'll fucking shoot you. Yeah. You don't know where I'm from.
Yeah.
Don't say that. But yeah, fuck who? Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
Juice Robinson, shit. Seeing that guy, because I know a lot of guys from over here are good friends with him.
Mm.
But seeing someone like that do that sort of wrestling, that American wrestling in Japan, it'd be so over. Fucking love him. New Year's Dash, you should have. He had them right there. I'm pointing to my hand, palm my hand. He had everyone, fuck. With the jabs and the Juice pulling the arm down, fuck. Hanging off. Every movement.
Yeah.
Juice Robinson, Ospreay and Hiromu again.
Yeah.
It's shit. Oh, my show was that good.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes you jealous.
Was there anyone from DDT or was it?
DDT, I think, probably edit this part out. I'm trying to put my finger on it. Made me sort of realise the wrestling I like and the wrestling that I really loved to do, there is a wider market for it, if you know what I mean. You get pockets of promotions doing this, that and the other, but this is a major promotion in Japan doing shit like this. It's crazy shit and it's amazing. It's the spectacle to watch it.
Yeah.
Really fun. And in Korakuen as well. That was a real eye opener.
Yeah, for a venue that's so synonymous with the big boys of Japanese wrestling to see. And it's not that DDT aren't the big boys because they're a massive company now, but the alternative
products. Course. Mad wrestling like that isn't pocketed anymore.
No.
We've got it, the Frog and Bucket over here. Yeah. DDT is this massive thing, which is wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
And then seeing Tanaka as well.
Yeah.
When his music hit, I'm like, I'm not jet lagged anymore. Well, Get me another strong zero, brother.
Oh, man, I really would pay money to see you versus Great Sasuke and he'd use the barrel on you. and you against Masato Tanaka in a chair, chair trade off.
One.
Yeah,
I'll
just
move.
That,
yeah,
that'll do it.
I'm out, see ya.
Just one forearm, that'll do it.
There's a chair over here, I'm going to sit in for
obviously, we're going to sort out your dream match with Agar at some point.
Man, fuck. Craig Hall, you piece of shit. I'm in the Tokyo Dome watching all these great matches, and you're in Korakuen watching Yoshinari Agawa win the GHC Junior Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there.
Could have done it running, mate.
Fuck. I gave him a hug.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you. Well done.
We'll have to get some dirt on Riddy, and we'll make him book you just against Agawa.
It cracked me because Craig told me while I was in the dome, he was like, Agawa's just won the belt. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, Tommy Wiseau's done good. I was like, you done it. You broke me. You gotta lie down. You've done it. Shit.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, obviously, this was your first time in Japan. Would you go again?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
And I'd like to see some more. I did want to go to Yokohama or Osaka on the bullet train.
Yeah.
But when I got to Tokyo, I was like, well, this is going to be far too much.
Yeah.
That I need to see it. So yeah. It's a reason in it to go back. And they just released a new dessert at McDonald's that I missed by day. So I've needed
to in Japan?
Yeah, to
all
get
right.
That. Yeah.
I mean, whereas over here, in Manchester, we've barely just got all-day breakfast.
Yeah.
And they've got... What's this dessert? Talk to me.
It's a cream pie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a double chocolate one.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A normal custard one. Fuck, that's great.
There you go.
And those stingy bastards over here are just giving us the extra half an hour.
I know.
To crawl to McDonald's
I know.
At 10:59, like we always do.
It's a game changer for me because the only thing I can actually eat from McDonald's these days is the hash browns, and it always really annoys me when they're like, "Oh, we stopped doing breakfast." I'm like, "Oh, all right, I'll just have a coffee and a milkshake then, eh?"
What will it be, sir? 50 hash browns, please.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, we're just about to go to the Frog and Bucket to go and watch some. There's some shard and graps, potentially work the doors. Like a couple of working class lads that we are.
I'll be on the door.
Yeah.
So please.
I might join you.
Are you going to join me though?
I feel like I might. I might have to now.
In a few days' time, when you hear this back, if Matty wasn't there.
Yeah.
Just fucking tweet the fuck out of him. Like, absolutely bury him. I'll give you his number tonight.
No, hey!
Fucking call him. Call him a shithouse. Yeah. Like,
nothing new there, mate.
His address, I'll give you that. Like, get all of some of them viruses, post them to his door. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
A bit 24. All right, you have got some new T-shirts out, haven't
oh,
you, Chris?
Shit, yeah.
Talk to me about your new T-shirts.
So,
you don't have to grab one. It's a podcast. This is audio.
It's all right. So, Chris 2020
yes.
is upon us.
Yeah.
So I've got some official campaign merchandise.
Stop rustling it.
It's out. It's out now. If you want to pick them up for me in person, select American Samoa at the checkout as your destination. Otherwise, shipping is very reasonable. But I've only got a limited amount of these. Once they're gone, there will be a sick new merch design out.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to show you.
Okay.
I'm showing you.
Yeah.
You think it's pretty good?
I think it's pretty good, yeah.
Pretty.
Let me drag me into this.
Pretty
like,
good. You see, you've got a vouch there.
Yeah.
You see it? So if you think it's shit, you can't just blame me.
You tweet me after you've given him my address, still coming knocking on my door.
Pitchforks, like, get his name in the news of the world. Like, just fucking hound him. But the T-shirts, I've got them now, very limited.
Stop rustling it.
There's only 23 still available.
Okay.
So just, you want one, get one. Trust me, this isn't a shill. There's not many.
Okay. No, there isn't. He's been true. So if you want to pick it up in person, select American Samoa as your shipping address. If you're from American Samoa, please specify in the notes that you're from there and they'll get sent there.
Please send me a telegram and we'll sort something out. You know where to find me.
Yeah, on the doors tonight.
On the doors and at Chris2020HQ.
Mm-hmm.
That's my headquarters.
Yeah.
That's where I reside at the moment.
And have you got any shows coming up? I mean, I don't think you can announce it yet, but you might be going to show in a few weeks, maybe?
Oh, I can't announce one. There's a few shut dates.
Yeah.
Press Switch and Return to the Guildhall.
Oh, yeah?
January's pretty quiet, through choice mainly.
Yeah.
Because I've just been to Japan.
Yeah.
Well, February, there should be some stuff lined up that I can't really say, but Twitter... Keep an eye on that. I'll announce it all real soon.
Ooh.
Superb. If you're at Resurgence this Saturday in Leicester, come say hi. I'll be there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I won't lose a tooth this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a message to get that.
Yeah.
That was, You silly boy. good stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's always a pleasure. He's legitimately shaking my hand as I'm doing an outro. Next week, I've got an idea what I'm going to do. The following week after, I am planning on getting a guest, and if they will do it, it will be an exciting guest, almost exciting as now TNJ regular Christopher Egan. Yep. But in the meantime, keep it tight, say nice things about people, and we'll see you next week on Tuesday night. Jaw. All right, cool. Are you ready?
Yeah. That's coming to start.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.